Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Batra Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph at the third Mishnah of the third Perek. Kol Chazaka Sheina Ima Ta'ana Ina Chazaka. Basically, this Mishnah is presenting something that we've already seen in our extended discussions, which is that a Chazaka alone does not constitute proof. It has to be accompanied by a claim of why you're on that land. And we'll see an example right now that will illustrate it quite clearly. Ketzad, Amar lo mata oseh betoch shali. The guy says, what are you doing on my land? Amar lo, shalom mar li adam davar milam. Nobody ever said anything to me. Ein ha-chazaka, that's not a chazaka. Shemacharta li, shenatat li matana, avicha machra li, avicha natna li matana. He says, you sold it to me, you gave it to me, your father sold it to me, your father gave it to me as a gift. Harizu chazaka. And v'haba mishum yerusha, if somebody comes and says, my father got it somehow, and then and bequeathed it to me, you don't need to be able to explain how your father got it. Okay. Now, pshita. It should be fairly obvious that if you don't have a ta'ana, that there's no chazaka here. So, ma'u detema, this is why we have to teach it. You might have thought, hi gavra mizban zavni lehayara, this guy really bought the land. Shtar ha'vele v'yirchas. He had a shtar, and he lost it. And so now, it's 5 years later, and he had a shtar, he lost it, and that's okay, because we say after 3 years, we don't expect you to keep it. So why did the guy say, nobody ever said anything to me, instead of saying I bought it from you? If I say that I bought it, I'm really achri shtar, they're going to tell me to find the, to show the shtar, and I don't have it. Therefore, we should say on his behalf, maybe we should provide the, sort of lead him, and say, maybe you had a shtar and you lost it. And maybe this is an example of the application of that pasuk that we do apply sometimes. Open up the, your mouth for the mute. Meaning, he doesn't know how to argue. You argue on his behalf. The answer is, Kamash Milan, if he doesn't have a ta'ana and he just simply says, nobody said anything to me, then it is not a chazaka. And he loses. Okay. Rav Anan, here's a story. Shakal bidka be'are. He had a flood come, and it came into his land. And what happened is the boundary that he had around his land got flattened. Azal hara guda ba'are de chavre. So he rebuilt it and inadvertently built it into his neighbor's property, which means he ended up stealing some land and didn't mean to. Atak Rav Nachman. And then when he came clear, he came to Rav Nachman. Amar le zil hada. Rav Nachman said to him, you got to give the land back. Marley va'it chazikile, but I've got a chazak on it. I've been there. Amarley, come on, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, da'amri kovafan of la'alto avi chazaka. You're following Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, who maintain that if you make a chazaka in the presence of the putative owner, then immediately it's a chazaka. You don't need 3 years. But late hilchatakavatayu, we don't accept their opinion. So Amalei, so Rav Anan said to Rav Nachman, v'ha achil, but the other fellow was mochel. In other words, he allowed me to be there, and he was mochel. So therefore, really, it's mine. Da'at of siya b'gudu v'hadai. Not only he was mochel, how do I know he was mochel? He helped me build up the new wall. Amarle mechila b'tauti, that's mechila based on a mistake. At kufach yev yadat lo'avdat. If you yourself knew where the property boundary was, you wouldn't have built the wall there, by your own admission. Just like you didn't know, Hunami lo aviyad, he didn't know either. Had he known, he certainly would not have helped you build the property on, build the wall on an area that was his property. So therefore, it's no chazaka. Okay, next case. Rav Kahana Shakal Bid Kabari. Rav Kahana had the same thing happen. It flooded, kind of wiped out the boundary. Azalar good about Ari Dolo Dide. Again, he built it on land that was not his. And as we will see, it is a vineyard that both he had and his neighbor had. As you could see, there was a vineyard. He had a vineyard, his neighbor had a vineyard, and they couldn't tell where the one end of one began. He came to Rav Yehuda to ask him what to do. Azal Aiti Trey Sahadi. So he brought two witnesses. The other fellow did. Chadamar Tarte Utsiata Al. That he came in two rows. Chadamar Tlat Utsiata Al. And the other one said he came in three rows. So Amar Rav Yehuda said, Zil Shalim Tarte Migotlat. You have to give him two of the rows back. In other words, you have to back off your property two rows. Amalei Kaman, and by the way, this may mean that if he's already gotten benefit and sold some of these grapes or eaten some of these grapes, he may have to pay for them. Amalei Kaman. So Rav Kahana said to Rav Yehuda, who's this following? Rav Shimon Elazar? Now we have the following machloket Mecham and Hillel have a disagreement about what happens when we have conflicting testimony, but one part of the testimony is included in the other. So, for instance, one witness right now will say, comes and says, Plony owes Almoni $100, and the other one says, Plony owes Almoni $200. Well, we certainly have testimony on $100, and we only have one witness on the $200. Question is, and Beit Shammai says we throw them out, but Hillel says we accept that part which is overlapping. Now, Shimon Elazar's take on it is that Beit Hillel says we accept the overlapping testimony even if it's one witness versus one witness. According to Chachamim, Beit Hillel said even in that case we wouldn't accept the testimony. It's only if we have one set versus another set. Here we go. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, lo nechuk Beit Shammai Beit Hillel shtei kitei edim, shachad omeret maneh v'achad omeret matayim. Beit Shammai Beit Hillel did not disagree if you have two sets of witnesses. One set says 100, the other set says 200. Sheish b'chal matayim maneh. After all, 100 is included in 200. So therefore, even Beit Shammai would agree that you got testimony to the 100. Al ma nechuku, what were they disagreeing about? Against the Chachamim's presentation, that's what they were disagreeing about. And that Beit Hillel would say, you accept 100, and Beit Shammai says you got nothing. But according to Chachamim, if you only had one witness versus one witness, even Beit Hillel says you got nothing. From Shimon Elazar, Ma Nechlekum, Al Katachat. When you have one set, Shechad Omer Maneh V'Chad Omer Matayim, one witness is 100, one witness is 200, Shebeit Shammai Omrim Nechleka Edutan, Beit Shammai says that the Edut is split, and therefore you got nothing. Beit Hillel says, no, 200 includes 100. And therefore, since you got two witnesses here, one says that you took three parts of three rows, and the other says you took two, well, two you owe him. So something to point out about this, but Rav Kahana said, I have a letter from the West, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, that says Halacha does not follow Shimon Elazar. Now, the reason this is significant is still in Rav Yehuda's time, which is second generation of Moraim, they consider themselves to be, to some extent, subservient to the Sanhedrin that was in the Galil. And therefore, if they made a ruling that we don't pass on Shimon Elazar, that would be in effect. Later on, over the next few generations, Bavel becomes more independent. Amar le l'chiteite. So Rav Yehuda said to Rav Kahana, when you bring the letter, then we'll see. In the meantime, I don't have such a letter. And I'm going to follow Shimon Elazar's approach to say that in this such a case, when you got one witness says three, one witness says two, you've got testimony to two. Okay, next case. Ahu gavra d'dar b'kashta b'ilita arbashani. A guy lived in a loft in a second story of something for 4 years. Ata mari d'veita ashkechei. And suddenly the guy found him there, the owner. I'm like, my bite by beita, what are you doing here? Amar le me plonya zvinta d'zavne minach. I bought it from Plony, you bought it from you. Ata the kamen Rav Chia, and the owner denies the whole thing. They came to Rav Chia. Amar le i'idlach sadi d'dar b'iyu d'zavne minei afilu ched yoma. So he told the Machzik, if you can bring witnesses that guy that you say sold it to you lived there for even one day, I'll give you the loft. Vilo lo, but if not. Now, that's Rav Chia. Remember, Rav Chia's nephew and beloved nephew is Rav. I'm a Rav. Have yativna kami de Chavivi. I was sitting in front of Chavivi, my beloved, my uncle. And we said to him, I remember what we said to him, it's not possible for someone to buy property at night and sell it the same night. In other words, you could buy it and sell it without ever going there, and nobody would have seen you there, and it still might be legit. So he didn't buy that, but we did discern that Uncle Rav Chia thought, that if the fellow had claimed, you bought it, in my presence, you sold, he bought it from you, Meheman. In other words, if I say, I bought it from Plony, who says he bought it from you, that's nothing. But if I say, I was there when you sold it to Plony, and then I bought it from him, then he's believed. Why? Migo di baya marle ata anas vanta minach. Because he could say, I bought it from you, I've been here 4 years, so I got my 3 years chazaka, and if I say I bought it from you, I'm believed. Therefore, if I say I bought it from Plony in front of you, then I'm believed also. Okay, I'm Rav Kavatet Rav Chia Mistabra. So we should follow Rav Chia. Why? Diktani Abam Mishum Yerusha Einot Tzarich Tana. At the end of our Mishnah, we said that if somebody comes Mishum Yerusha as a Yoresh, he doesn't have to have a Taina. Means he does not have to explain how his father got the property or whoever the Morish is. Tana Hudlo Boy. All he is exempt from is a claim. Raya Boy, but he does have to bring a Raya that his father lived there. He can't come and say my father bequeathed it to me without proving that his father lived there or had some sort of a claim there. Alright, so in the same way here, this guy in the loft does have to prove that the guy who he says sold it to him had a day there. and therefore Rava supports Rav Chia. But we knock that down. V'dimelo rayabai v'lo tanabai. Who says? Maybe when the Mishnah says, eno tzarech taina, he also, eno tzarech raya, maybe he doesn't have to do anything. He's a yoresh. And by the way, even if a Yoresh does need to bring a proof, that doesn't mean that a purchaser does. Because a purchaser is not going to throw his money away for nothing. We know that this guy paid to that other fellow. So we have to assume that he did due diligence and checked into the property, and the fellow was the real owner. And therefore, we will assume that he was the owner. And he doesn't need to bring a raya that other fellow was the owner. He could have been, like Rob said, in the middle of the night, bought it and sold it, and sold it right to somebody else. Okay. Ibayaluhu nira bomai. What if the guy was not seen on the property as an owner for a day, but what if he was hanging out on the property? Is that enough? Abaya says the same thing. If he's hanging around the property, that's good enough proof. And then the fellow says, I bought it from him, is now believed, and his chazak is good. Rav Amar no, Avin Inish to Sir Ari Velozavin. Sometimes a person will hang out around a property and not necessarily buy it. Okay, next piece. Shlosha Lakuchot Mitzarfin. Now what this means is if you have three guys who bought property, meaning a guy bought the property and then sold it to another guy and then sold it to another guy, and the total of the time that they owned it was 3 years. That makes a chazaka, so that if another fellow comes and says, what are you doing on my land? He says, well, I bought it from him, and he bought it from him, and our total time on this land that you haven't been here and registered a protest is 3 years. That's a chazaka, so he's out. Amarav achula mishtar. Rav says that's only if they all have a shtar, meaning that the first guy sold to the second guy, and the second guy sold to the third guy with a shtar. Now, Lemaimer, the Savarav Shtar, they call it. The reason for that is that we're saying when you sell with a shtar, there's a kol. So therefore, the guy who's coming later and complaining should have heard about it and should have registered a protest. The fact that he didn't means he loses. So you're going to tell me that Rav holds a shtar, they call it, ve'edim late lahukola? That only if you use a shtar does the word get out? But if you sold without a shtar, but with edim, people wouldn't hear about it? Which, why is Rav demanding that person two and three buy it with a shtar so that the word gets out? Buy it in front of Edim without a shtar, the word would get out. If you sell property in front of Edim, then when the guy comes to collect the field, somebody's already bought it since then, you can go and collect it. Because when you sell something to Edim, there's a call. And therefore, the other guy should have known that it was already Meshubad. The answer is no. Hatam lekuchot inu afsidu anafshayu. There, the lekuchot themselves lost. The guys who bought the property subsequently lost because they should have checked into it. So we're still saying that a shtar has more kol. Umiyam Rav Achi, since what Rav said about nana malvad chaver b'shtar govern chasim yishubadim. If you lend with a shtar, then the guy that you can collect from the chasim yishubadim, which means that other people heard about this loan because it was b'shtar, and they knew what they were doing when they bought the property. But if you sell in front of Einim, then they can only collect from Bnei Chorin, which means they didn't know about it. And you want to say Rav disagrees with that Mishnah? Because Rav has that status of Tana, he's still connected enough to the Tanaitic period, he can disagree. But they themselves said, Milval, if you have an oral debt, which means in front of Einim, you cannot collect from Lekuchot, which means you can't collect from Shubanim, which means that Rav clearly said that Edim do not have a call. The answer is Milvaz Vinikaramit. You're challenging your ruling about a sale from a ruling about a loan. They're dealt with opposite. Milva kiko yozif patzino kiko yozif. When you borrow money, you borrow discreetly. You don't want people to find out that you're hard up for money and then your property value is going to go down and people are going to come and lowball you. You don't want that. Zvina emanda zavinara. When you buy land, farhesia zavin. You buy it with you publicize it. You want the word to go out that it's been bought, so therefore it's going to be done publicly. So therefore, it could be that when you sell when you lend money be'edim, you do it quietly. People don't know about it. But when you sell, when you buy land be'edim, then everybody knows about it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Achlaha av shanava ben shtayim. Let's say that father was on the land for a year, and then he died, and the son took over for the next 2 years. Ha'av shtayim aben shana, or flip it, 2 and 1. Ha'av shana aben shana, valokeach shana. Father's there for a year, son takes over, and then son sells it to another guy for a year. Hareza Chazaka. This is like our three, the Rimit story. If you got 3 years in which the claimant hasn't been on the land, hasn't registered a protest. But now, the implication is that when you sell land, the word gets out, and the guy should hear about it, and he should come and protest. The fact he didn't means he gave it up. Or mini achla bifneav. This is a flip. If you sat on the property during the lifetime of the father, and then the guy who's going to come and claim it, his father supposedly owned the land, his father died, and then the son was around for 2 years, and so you were on the land 1 year of the father's life and another two of the sons, flip it, 2 and 1. Here we go. You were on the land for 1 year of the father's life. Father died, then 1 year of the son's life. Then son sold the property to a third guy, and you were there for 1 year of his life, of his career as an owner. Harezu chazaka. That's a chazaka, which means that a lokeach doesn't have a call, because if you think that a lokeach has a call, that if the son sold it after 2 years to another guy, and we know that that's a call, that's the best protest there is. Of course it's my land, I'm selling it to somebody. So Rapapa, Rapapa said, you're right, that normally would be the case. But here we're talking about a case where a guy just sold all his property. He wasn't aiming to sell that property in order to register a protest. He just sold all his property. So a father had property for a year, and during that year, somebody else sat on his field. The father died, son inherited his property, the guy still sits on the field. And after a year, the son liquidates all of his father's assets, and so now a lokeach is there, and the fellow is still sitting on the property. So now the lokeach comes along and says, or the Ben's representatives come and say, what are you doing on my land? I said, nobody protested, and I bought it. And that's a good chazaka, because the sale of this land was not a protest, because it wasn't specifically this land, where Papa says, but rather the fellow sold all of his land. Okay, we got up to the fourth Mishnah. We'll pick it up at this Mishnah, which will take us quite deeply into the Gemara. It'll be a while before we see it on the Mishnah, and we will pick it up in the next podcast. But in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.